be involved. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, we're going to be looking at this idea of God repented. There are several times in the Bible where this idea occurs. And we're going to look at what that means. So we're going to start by reading our text, and then I'm going to introduce some things to you as we look at this passage from Genesis chapter 6. Follow along while I read our text beginning in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What's the next word? Read it out loud with me. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it, say the next word with me, grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it, say it out loud with me, repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. All right, everybody, you're going to do a little thing with me to illustrate. Ready? I want everybody to take in a deep breath and let it out with me on three. One, two, three. That's the literal meaning of the word in the Hebrew for repent. It means to breathe heavily or to sigh. You know, sighing is often a response, but it's not always the same response. For instance, when something goes well that you've really been concerned about, there's a sigh of relief. When sometimes we're frustrated, we sigh in frustration. When we're tired, and sometimes not just physically, but we're tired of some ongoing circumstance, sometimes a sigh is a response. Sometimes in anger or regret or disappointment or in grief. The word repent also means or refers to changing the mind or a course of action. Sometimes we sigh just before taking action. Those of you that are parents that have ever had to spank your kids know what I'm talking about. Where there's that sigh, you have to discipline, but it's not something that you are looking forward to. There's that sigh of disappointment, that sigh of grief over the sin of the child that needs to be disciplined. And yet that is also a sigh of resolution that I must do this unpleasant thing and take this course of action because I love my child. And I trust that tonight, as we look at the subject of God repented, that you will gain a deeper personal understanding of God, and that this personal knowledge of him will move you to worship him in reverent obedience and glorify him with fuller admiration. So there's some things that I'd like you to notice. Let's read verse 5 again. First of all, I want you to see this truth. God always knows exactly what's going on. God knows exactly what's going on. Look in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see, God sees everyone's outward actions. Mine, yours, everyone's. Proverbs 15:3, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Bible also says that God sees man's inward thoughts, yours, mine, everyone's. Job 42, verses 1 and 2 declare, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Everything you've looked at as you've scrolled through reels on your phone this week, God's seen it. Every text you sent, God's seen it. Every text you were going to send and with wisdom and prudence decided not to send, God's seen it. God sees your outward actions. God knows your inward thoughts. There's nothing that escapes God's notice, both because he is omniscient and omnipresent, but also because he loves us infinitely and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And while that truth is a great comfort, it should also bring great conviction. Thou God, seest me. So, number two, God repented that he had made man. Look at verses 6 and 7. And think, keep this word sigh in mind when you see this, okay? Look, I'm going to read it kind of that way. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God is unchanging. We call that his immutability. And God is all-knowing. We call that his omniscience. Therefore, God cannot change his mind because something happened that he was not expecting. Numbers 23:19 bears this out. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it? He hath spoken, and shall he not make good? God does not repent the way man repents. Man needs to repent out of sorrow and grief over sin, and there needs to be a change. And when God's Holy Spirit confronts you as a believer about some sin of disobedience in your life, and disobedience is not only doing what God forbids, it is also not doing what God commands. And when the Spirit of God says, you are wrong, you need to have a deep sigh of grief. James says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and grieve. Let your joy be turned to sorrow. When there needs to be grief when we sin. God does not repent that way because God is perfect. God is holy. God has never made a mistake. So God does not repent as man repents. That's what this scripture is saying, that God is unchanging. And what he says, he does. But repent also carries the idea or the concept of regret. I like the way one commentator put it. He said, God's regret did not stem from something he had done wrong, but rather from what humanity was doing wrong. God gave man a free will. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve exercised that will to disobey the one rule that God had for them. And because of that, they cast the whole human race under the sin curse. And every man is born with a sin nature, and every man is chosen to sin. There is only one man who never sinned, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Not having received the sin nature because he was placed in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost. Repent also means a change of action. God cannot change, but by language that is suited to our nature and our experience, he is described as about to alter his visible procedure towards mankind from being merciful and long-suffering. And was not God merciful and long-suffering? Here, man had gotten to the place where the thoughts of his mind were only, the imaginations of his heart were only evil continually. All he did was evil. All he dreamed of was evil. All he devised was more evil. You think that our culture is wrapped up and saturated with evil? You should have seen Noah's day. Because every imagination was acted upon. And their hearts and their minds as a people were bent completely on evil. God could have destroyed them long before this. God was merciful, and God was patient. As a matter of fact, we know that when Noah built the ark, that Peter calls him in 2 Peter 3:15, a preacher of righteousness. And we know from scriptural text that Noah preached for 120 years and warned of God's coming judgment and encouraged people to get on the ark. God's merciful, but he was about to change his visible manifestation, the way that he dealt with man, from being merciful and long-suffering to show himself as also a God of judgment. And God is holy. God is righteous and just. God is also a God of judgment. And as they had filled up the measure of their iniquities, he is about to display his terrible wrath in his justice on man. But I want you to see another phrase. Look back in verse 6. The Bible says at the end of verse 6, and it grieved him at his heart. God is not unfeeling in the face of human sin and rebellion. I don't know about you, but sometimes God does a check engine light in my mind. Sometimes when I'm driving into church, sometimes often I'm praying or I'm listening to some sacred music. Sometimes I'll listen to the news so I'll kind of know what's going on. And it's not uncommon when I listen to the news to hear five people were murdered last night in an apartment complex in such and such a neighborhood in Atlanta or in this county or that county and somewhere around here. And we can hear that often, and it doesn't grieve us of the sorrow and of the evil that is going on in our immediate communities around us. But worse than that, sometimes we can grow callous and unfeeling in the face of our own sin. But I want you to understand something about the character of God tonight, that God is always grieved deeply by the sin of mankind. Whether it is the sin of unbelievers, as in rebellion they continue to reject him and push him away and follow after their sin nature, or whether it is believers who, having the Spirit of God and the Word of God and a new nature and relationship with Christ, still choose to yield to the flesh and willfully disobey. Folks, God is not unfeeling and emotionless in the face of our sin and rebellion. And so it also gives me great comfort to know that God did not act in judgment out of a cold indifference or judge with cold calculation. This grieved God at his heart. The word grieved, though, also, though it doesn't translate this way into our English, in the Hebrew, this word also very strongly carries with it the concept of a determination of a change of course of action. One writer put it this way, and I think this aptly sums it up. God now feels grief and pain over what people are doing. God's power and all-inclusive seeing lead to proper emotion, not to callousness or cynicism or brutality. Based on this seeing and feeling, the Lord determines to change the policy of allowing the human race to live in this condition. God's regret means action must be taken, not that a great cosmic mistake has been made. And when God judges sin, and what is the wages of sin? Listen to this. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Who's turned into hell?
The wicked.
The wicked. Listen to this. Ezekiel 33:11. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God must and God will judge in righteous wrath our sin, unless we come to Christ and receive eternal life and that forgiveness. And then the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. Our sins have been permanently cleansed and forgiven. God says, your sin will I remember no more. Praise God for his forgiveness. Praise God, when you are in Christ, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Mm-hmm. But understand that no matter the depths of the wickedness of those around us, when God in judgment ends their life, and if they have not repented of their sin and placed their faith in Christ, they are sentenced to eternal death forever in the lake of fire. That though God is just and God is righteous and his justice is satisfied, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This grieved him. This sin grieved him at his heart. And I trust that we will understand that our sin grieves the heart of God. And may our hearts be grieved at our sin. May our hearts truly be grieved at the sins of our families, the sins that we see around us. Yes, we know that God is just And we know that every injustice will be dealt with. And there is some comfort in that. But may our hearts still be grieved with sin. But I want you to see also that God has a gracious plan. God had a gracious plan here, and God has a gracious plan. Look with me in verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah was righteous, justified by God through faith. Noah was blameless in his character and conduct among those in his generation. Noah walked in obedience to and in fellowship with God in a personal relationship. And as I referenced earlier, Peter refers to Noah as a preacher of righteousness. Now, folks, we should see some parallels between Noah and ourselves. We are, who are saved, are righteous because we have been justified by faith in Christ. God has justified us. We ought to be blameless in our character and conduct among those in our generation as we walk in obedience to and in fellowship with God in a personal relationship. Being proclaimers, not only by the example of our lives, but as proclaimers of the gospel, as we have been commissioned to proclaim the gospel. Like Noah, preachers, proclaimers of the righteousness of Christ that every man needs. We are all unrighteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is one righteous, Jesus Christ, the Son of righteousness. And we can be made righteous through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God the Father, hath made him, Christ the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So remember, God knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going on in the lives of others who may, their actions, their choices may be affecting you. God not only sees the outward actions, God also sees the motivations of the heart. May we cry out like the psalmist, search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know what David is asking there in Psalm 139? He's not asking for God to discover something God had not yet discovered. He's asking God to reveal to him, to David, what he already knew to be true, anything that was out of line with the character and will of God. David said, Lord, show me and lead me in the way everlasting. And it can also be translated from the Hebrew, lead me in the path of righteousness. Let's not grieve the heart of God. There have been times, even in this last week, if you're to look back on it, where some choice that you made, some reaction that you had, the way that you treated somebody, some temptation that you yielded to caused God to sigh, oh no. But remember, God has a gracious plan. Brothers and sisters, in 1 John 1:9, we are promised that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess, homologeo, say the same, acknowledge and agree with God where we've been wrong. And we can be restored to fellowship. Noah built the ark. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, Noah preached. Change your mind. Believe the message of God. This world will be destroyed by a flood. The only safety is in the ark. So we need to proclaim the gospel. And if you've not yet believed it, believe it tonight. There is only one way that you can be saved. Get in Christ Jesus. Put your faith in him. Judgment's coming. Peter warns in 2 Peter 3, God once destroyed this earth with a flood. The next time it will be with fire. And this world will be utterly annihilated and destroyed. God's judgment is coming. God is merciful. May we make sure that we are right with God, that our hearts are in tune with God's, that we are sensitive and grieve over sin. and have such a strong love for God that we desire that we would not grieve him with our sin, that we would agree with him about sin, that we'd ask God to give us tender hearts that don't become callous to the wickedness of the world that surrounds us, and to offer hope because God has a gracious plan, the plan of redemption. Let's just bow our heads for a moment right now so that we can meditate on that. Would you in your heart respond and say, Lord, not just has there been a time this last week when I caused you to sigh in sorrow, in righteous indignation over my disobedience. But maybe, Lord, is this a pattern where I am consistently grieving you? And my heart's grown calloused and cold to some issue of character or habit in my life. And if the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, let me encourage you to homologeo, say the same as God in your heart, pray, confess it, repent, turn from it, have a change of mind and a change of direction, and pursue through the grace of God, through his help, his holiness, his righteousness. You cannot change yourself. God will transform you through his grace, but you must cooperate with him, and you must be pliable clay that he can mold. And we take hope in the gracious plan of our God. May God help us to be faithful to proclaim that hope. Let's discontinue live stream at this time. I'm going to pray. And then as soon as I am done praying, Brother Philip is going to come and present their ministry. Heavenly Father, you do not repent as man repents, for you never do wrong. You never.